We're dealing with a contract which is, you know, almost 30 years old. The contract actually was negotiated before I even started practice, and I'm in practice 30 years. At that stage, there were no blood tests envisaged, but the GPs weren't taking bloods. So bloods are an extra service above and beyond. The GMS contract is an acute contract. It was very much just for acute care. I have a sore throat, I have a sore back, I have a sore head. You come to the doctor, you actually get it treated. General practice has evolved since then. We do so much more. And as listeners know, there are so many things that are covered by the medical card, but there are certain things that aren't. For instance, driving license medicals would be one. Letters of support for certain services. These are all things that you will be charged by your GP. Similarly, bloods. Now, bloods are, remember that if you're living in Glencullen, Kill or Malin Head, those bloods have to be taken by the doctor, our staff, have to be transported to the lab. Then they have to be analysed. And then the patient is encouraged to ring back to talk about their actual bloods. So that is a service that is not envisaged in the GMS contract as it stands. So therefore, there's a charge for it. And I'm quite comfortable with that, and I'm quite happy to defend it. But going forward, the chronic disease management program, people who've had asthma, heart disease, strokes, they historically, they were always coming in to the GP, and they'd have been charged for bloods. Now, the government, there's a special scheme that is there. We are looking after these people, and the government are paying us to take the bloods. So therefore, it's almost a recognition. The government recognised that this isn't a service that was envisaged. And it really is such a burden. The amount of bloods, and at the end of an evening, I could have 200, you know, maybe about 100 bloods every day that I have to analyse. And I would always recommend that patients ring their GP. We would always sort of say, for a safety reason, ring your GP to check if your bloods are fine. Never assume that the doctor will ring you. If the bloods are normal, it's always better for you to ring.
I think a lot of people, if they hear nothing, they instantly assume that everything's okay. Maybe they get that from the guidance of the GP. Maybe the GP says to them,
look, I think maybe a couple of my colleagues might text me and say, what are you doing? I think it is safer. There are what I would call, there's normal bloods, there's red alert bloods, and there's amber alert bloods. Red alert bloods, if somebody has a really significant blood test, I will ring them. But then there would be something say, well, that's not really important, but maybe they should get that repeated in 3 months' time. Now, I'm not good if it's a quiet day, but if I have 100 bloods and 20 phone calls to make for the red alerts, you know, the yellow alerts aren't always done. You would just expect the GP, because we say to the patients to ring up after 2 weeks for your bloods. So therefore, it's better that they do that. And then in some practices, the secretary will say the doctor has looked at those bloods and they're quite happy. There's no actions to be taken, and that's fine. So the amber alert ones are the ones that I would be always concerned that the GP has felt, well, the patient's going to ring. Yeah. I just want to repeat that in 6 months.
But just down to charges, not for what is to come, but the situation as is now. From an Irish medical organisation's perspective, are any blood tests free to medical card holders?
I think if you look at the contract, it's an acute care contract. If you came in to me with a dangerous lump that I thought was leukemia, that I thought, oh crikey, as part of my acute assessment of you, I think you might have leukemia. In theory, I would say that's an acute care, but I wouldn't charge.
What about if you wanted to check my uric acid levels?
Uric acid levels, it depends in the circumstances. If you came in and said, Dennis, I think I might have gout, and I say, well, do you? I said, God. If you came in and you had an acute red toe and it was flaming sore, and it was as part of the acute assessment to decide what I'm going to give you. So if you want to break it down into nitty gritty things, yeah. And the classic.
But the problem is you see, I think it's that there's so much latitude there, and that maybe that, and so went so much interpretation, because maybe if you wanted to. So say, for instance, I didn't have a big bright red toe, but you wanted to rule something out. So in other words, you know, it was to satisfy a curiosity almost as to whether my uric acid levels were too high. Yeah. I should be charged for that.
Yeah. And as well, Greg, no matter if we're checking somebody for anything, and this is my apologies, I'm being a little bit glib about this, and I'm sorry. At the end of every consultation where I've told somebody thankfully they don't have arthritis, they don't have cancer, they don't have this. The final question is, what is my cholesterol, doctor? That's the number one thing that patients are keen on. Mm. Now, that is not an acute care. But if you say, okay, I think I have got something dangerous, I want you to take bloods, and I insist you not pay for it, say, that's fine. Or would you do my cholesterol, thyroid, vitamin D as well? You know, then you're into it. I'm just trying to show that, listen, I think general practice provides a great service. I think that the amount of charge for bloods is almost reflective of the actual transport of the blood to the hospital, the taking on the actual transport. I think I am very comfortable with charging. And I think that if somebody is very severe, I think this is an acute issue, I shouldn't be charged. I say, that's fine. You know, if that's your view, that's fine. But the vast majority of bloods do not fall into that category. It's not caused by the contract. We as GPs, particularly in Donegal, I'm very proud of the service that we give. And I have absolutely no problems in standing over a charge for blood taking. Because the vast majority of the time it is patients coming in for an MOT. Mm-hmm. I want to check my cholesterol. My mum had thyroid. I want to
understood.
Check.
But does the HSC have a different interpretation of this then? So because they're not going to, like, I don't know how many people kept their receipt for the blood test, decided that they shouldn't have been charged, then decided to find out where to the HSC you might send it, you know, but a number of them did, to the total of €2,600. Now, we know that's a tiny percentage.
Could I say that is probably a millionth of a percent?
Yeah, exactly. But the HSC found that they shouldn't have been charged. Like, in other words, the HSC interpreting this differently to GPs, is there still, even at the sort of the sunset of this contract, some disagreement between both parties as to what's actually covered?
I think we've had negotiations in relation to government on a number of factors, and we always have a lively debate about this issue. But my argument would be, because the government now recognises the chronic disease management, the part of it involves taking bloods, and they now pay us for that. That actually proves our argument from the start, that these were not part of the contract from the first place. So I think that within the HSC, it does not vex them greatly that we charge for bloods. Now, naturally, when you ask the question, they will disagree with us, but it's not the top of their agenda. And I think that these are people who have gone to the trouble of charging, claiming back the 20 or 10 euros that they are charged. The clinical circumstances, you know, they won't ring the GP and get the clinical circumstances. I think if the person goes to the trouble of claiming it and has a receipt, I would imagine that the HSC will refund that. But as I say, I have no problem standing over the charge that is imposed for these bloods.
Well, the HSC kind of something of a whistleblower's link on the website, don't they? Where if you are charged for bloods by the GP, and you're not happy about it, you can report the GP to the HSC. Is that correct? I'm sure I've seen that somewhere before.
As I say, if they did and they were members of the IMO, I would quite comfortably speak to the HSC official involved and just say, that's fine.
Okay. So because I've been a little bit confused, Dennis. It's not your fault, by the way, as it relates to what's happening now. So before we talk about any new contracts or any new arrangements, the way it is at the moment, as from an Irish medical organisation, that you are standing over GPs charging whatever it is to cover their costs for blood tests at the moment and going forward.
And to make it, as you say, there is a little bit of, you know, that you're saying my uric acid depend. For routine bloods, non-acute bloods, there is no, the contract does not cover this. Therefore, there is a charge. And some GPs will charge per item of bloods. We in our practice, if somebody's coming back regularly for bloods, once they reach 50 euros for the year, they're not charged after that. There are people who have to get bloods every week. And therefore, I would feel that it's a burden on somebody to have to pay a charge every week. So once after the first 5 weeks of the year, the other 46 weeks are free. You know, it's just, but it is, we take bloods officially three mornings a week. We transport those to the hospital. We've employed somebody specifically to take bloods because the amount of work we have to do is extraordinary for taking bloods. And remember, we also take bloods for the hospital. The argument, for Greg, I suppose an argument we would have is that if somebody wishes not to charge, get bloods and get charged for it, the service is available in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Now, that's good if you live around Letterkenny. Like, if you say to your GP, I am not prepared to take bloods, you say, that's fine, go to the hospital, I'll give you the list, you can have it done. So the service is available for somebody for free. But if you want to get it from a general practitioner who has a GMS contract, and that contract does not cover chronic bloods, there will be a charge. And And there will be a charge every time or up to a limit, depending on what the practice actually does.
Right, so then you mentioned right at the beginning then about HSE or government recognition of blood tests as part of diagnostic process. What was that referencing to? Is that something that's coming in or what?
No, it's in. No, it's actually in the last 2 years as part of the IMO GP contract. Initially, it was an age-related thing, but anybody with ischemic heart disease who's had a stroke, who has asthma and COPD, there are a number of bloods that have to be done every year as part of the follow-up of that. And the government have recognised this is an extra service. They are charging us to take those bloods as well as managing the actual chronic disease. So those are bloods that are not charged for. And now technically, if they want to get some other bloods done, the GP could charge, but I really don't think that will happen. I think if you're getting paid for doing these bloods, you will do it.
A caller says, in relation to ringing to get results of your bloods, it's often hard to get through because it can be hit and miss from GP practice to GP practice. Yeah. Is there another way to get your results? Like, I know what you've recommended there. I think a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, I don't know a ton of people, but I think the majority of them that I know, if they don't get a call from the GP after bloods, it's thumbs up, everything must be okay. Now, they might be now inclined to start ringing their GP, and this might adjust their relationship with the GP. I'm not sure if you're going to be popular amongst any of these groups now.
My phone's on silent, but I'm just checking in case I'm getting actually texts about this. But no, every practice is actually different. I think that some practices, some of the very good technological savvy practices are actually issuing, they have an agreement with the patient, they issue a text to say your bloods are fine, or they issue a text otherwise. Others, they ask the patient to ring in. It goes, just to go back to say about the actual issue about phoning, I think I would apologize to patients. It is so busy at the present moment. The amount of work that we have, that actually quite a lot of the work is actually trying to sort people out in the hospital and abroad. A lot of the time we are seeing people again and again are people who are on a waiting list. They've been told to ring the secretary. The secretary says to ring another, or to get the GP to write an other urgent letter. There's a whole thing. There's, I would say, 15 to 20% of my day is following up things in the hospital that previously I wouldn't have to do. That involves phone calls. That involves time. That is as well as seeing patients. Our secretaries are doing the exact same sort of work. So it's harder to get your GP in the phone these days, but that's because there are so many people. We have 6 lines. Yeah, they are all of the time.
Right.
And the phoning, I would still recommend if the GP recommends, he or she recommends that you ring back in 2 weeks.
Well, GPs not do something like if your surname begins with letter A to F, that you ring between 9 and 10:30 in the morning.
There are certain times. Like, once again, in our practice, most practices ask for people to get bloods to ring in the afternoon because our busiest time is in the morning. They say we have a secretary who set aside to take requests for blood test results every afternoon. Mm-hmm. That person, you ring, and they'll say, you have to ring several times. I'm sorry, you know, we are trying our best.
Okay.
We have employed extra people, extra secretaries, extra lines, but the demand keeps going up.
I'm asking this question so it's clear in my head for future and not to labour it, and I won't hold you very much longer. So from an Irish medical organisation's perspective, right, this notwithstanding what GPs might do individually with individual patients, from the IMO's perspective, what, as specific as we can be, what blood tests are free for medical card holders?
For blood tests for a non-acute issue, for a chronic routine bloods, are not covered. And that involves most people who come to their doctor are coming to get their, you know, their thyroid blood test, cholesterol test. Those are not covered unless you are part of a chronic disease program that you have invited in as part of that.
And those people will know that, I presume.
Yes, yeah, they will, yeah.
Secondly, and sorry, very, very lastly, completely unrelated, are you seeing any changes in people's behaviour for the role that you might have in it in terms of using cross-border schemes or going to Spain to get treatments? Is there any adjustment in that regard lately?
Oh, it's dreadful. I think because the waiting list, because as I mentioned earlier on, our day is spent chasing people up, trying to get appointments, you know, severe cases, trying to get them seen. An awful lot of it is historically a lot around the border. I think the hospital in Spain has got a lot of media attention. But almost everybody who's listening has had a relative who's gone to the
Derry or Belfast,
and Belfast to get it done. And unfortunately, we now put it as probably we say, unfortunately, this is the nature of medicine in Ireland at the present moment. Somebody is in severe pain and I say, listen, this is a question I have to ask you. Would you have enough money in your bank account to cover the cost of an operation in the hope of getting it refunded? And if you have, there is an avenue. And if you haven't, you just have to wait. And like that is supposed to be in a modern medical service. I have to ask a patient how much money they have in their bank account, in the hope that they can then spend that money to get the majority of it refunded. And I'm very unhappy and very embarrassed to do that. So yes, that is a
but
sad
unfortunately story. That is what's actually being celebrated as the norm and the solution.
No, it is the norm and the solution. And I think that I do worry that, you know, if we can just have I would personally, socialist then, even though I'm not that socialist then, but I would still like the money to be put into Letterkenny, put into Sligo, put into a hospital that does just elective services in Ireland to employ Irish doctors, Irish nurses, Irish healthcare staff with pensions so that they can do that service and do it equally well as the hospital in Northern Ireland and in Spain. But it is very frustrating.
Almost but are more people seeing it as a viable option now, even if they go to the credit union or whatever it might be? Like, are we seeing
it's
more
the only option.
Yeah.
It's the only option they have.
Okay. Other than that, it's an open-ended wait, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're suggesting.
I think a lady came in to me recently and she was going for an appointment. She came in with the letter and we were trying to work out who had sent the letter. I'd sent it 7 years ago and this is for her first assessment.
That's terrible. I mean, what do you say? I mean, you're within the system, but completely out of your control. How do you even defend that? Not that you would, but do you know what I mean? Like, I just
put my head in my hands, and we almost laugh about it. This lady, in the meantime, has been to Northern Ireland, and part of the cross border scheme has had this problem sorted.
And with a few things that I've dealt with,
she had it sorted 5 years ago.
The few things that I've dealt with. And I hope I'm not having a go at any particular group of people. I'm not intending to, but I suspect at this point there is a pile of GPs' letters on behalf of patients talking about something being urgent. I'm not sure they're ever opened. Maybe they recognise that. Right? I don't mean literally not opened.
Yeah, I think that's a very difficult thing. I think yes, the whole process of, like for instance, in certain hospitals, we still send in an email to a referral letter. That email is printed and put on a list. That's odd. But I do think I think the whole waiting list thing is very frustrating. I think what I find personally frustrating is that I've sent quite a detailed letter and asking for an urgent referral, and above and beyond what I would normally do, and then I get a letter back to say you need to write another urgent letter to have this lady considered, and I find that demoralising.
Yeah, and what system is?
You're actually depressed today, but
No. But I mean, what is the system that's being put into that it triggers when you send a letter saying something's urgent? What happens to trigger a system that gets back to you to say, send me another urgent letter? There's something strange going on.
Unfortunately, it is the situation, Greg, that you have to shout a lot and have to shout often to get noticed in certain services.
Yeah, I just feel that the GP's voices aren't really being listened to, and TDs maybe, or the media. I know GPs are working very hard on behalf of some of their patients, but it's only until such time as maybe we make some representation or a TD gets involved or that things seem to progress. That's what made me sort of suggest that I wonder what weight now GPs' urgent letters, what weight they're actually given.
I know, listen, it actually depends on the service. When the service is there, I find when there's certain acute services, if the service is available in the hospital and there is capacity, the triaging will be done appropriately as per the quality of the letter and the danger associated with that letter. But unfortunately, I think that comment is I think it is more, it's just the absence of capacity is the issue rather than the systems for evolving that. You're saying, oh, the letters don't count. If there was a good capacity in the hospital for a certain service,
yes,
the letters are very important.
100%.
But the problem is there is no capacity.
Yep.